I entitled my message, "Then He Went Home." And you might say, "What do you mean by that? Then He Went Home. Who'd he?" Well, he being Jesus. Did you ever think about it? We hear, "Oh man, it is so good to go away, but it is sure better to come home." And then when we come home, sometimes things look a little strange. If we've been away for a long time, things don't look the same when we get home. I don't know what that is, the human nature, but when we arrive after being away a long time, things usually look different. And we gain a different perspective about our environment. Sometimes if we move to a new area, or just happen to be away for a long vacation, and sometimes even the relatives back home don't understand us. And that's what I want to talk about, because that's what happened to Jesus in his hometown of Nazareth. Jesus had launched his ministry from Nazareth a short time earlier, and before that he was a carpenter in Nazareth, and having taken over his father's business, when Joseph died, he was the oldest son of Mary. So in the Jewish tradition, everything fell to the oldest son when the father dies. Jesus then became responsible for his younger brothers and sisters. And it must have caused quite a stir and some sharp criticism when one day it was discovered that this carpenter had turned itinerant preacher. Wow. Now, the criticism grew sharper when Jesus returned home. And according to the Gospel of Mark, Jesus had met and conferred with his cousin, John the Baptizer. He cast out demons with power, healed the sick, including a paralytic, a leper. He was forgiven sins. And the scribes and the Pharisees protested, "Hey, only God can forgive sins, and this guy also eats with sinners." He was confronted by the Pharisees, and their legalism shone. So Jesus withdrawn to the hills with his newly called apostles for a prayer and strategy session. And by the time he reached Nazareth, he was the talk of the town. Nazareth was alive with rumors and counter-rumors. The air was blue with controversy. Controversy grew sharper when he had returned home. So what happened? Jesus spoke right into the teeth of controversy by talking about a divided house, the unforgivable sin, his new family. Nazareth discovered that this was no gentle and quiet, mild and meek, soft-spoken teacher who had returned home. No, tensions and tempers rose when Jesus went home. Satan's divided house. Wow. The stories about what Jesus was doing fueled the fires of criticism back in Nazareth. And now Jesus was home. His friends and his relatives thought that things would get better, but they got worse. The friends, the relatives, tried to explain to the people, "He's beside himself." The scribes said, "He is possessed. Perhaps he will just ignore him and this insult. We'll just let things quiet down." His friends and relatives thought, "That's what we'll do." But Jesus hit the criticism head on with words which had affected us ever since when he spoke to them. And he said to them, "How can Satan cast out Satan?" Jesus asked, "I have come to clean up the house of the human soul." He said, in effect, "The things to do is to bind the evil one who has gained so much control over so many. I cast out unclean spirits, not by the power of Satan, but by the power of God. A kingdom divided against itself can't stand." Well, the scene sort of changes now. And if you reflect on one of our greatest presidents, in my humble opinion, President Abraham Lincoln, he was searching his soul for the right answers in that famous Douglas-Lincoln debate. Lincoln reached back far into his memory for a word to assure a nation of his resolve to persevere and preserve unity. It was a Bible verse that he learned in Sunday school back in Illinois, or it might have been a word that he read previous in his own personal Bible study. It was a word from Mark's Gospel, a word from Jesus, and there it was in verse 25 of Mark's Gospel, chapter 3. A house divided against itself cannot stand. Now, Abraham Lincoln did originate it. He borrowed it from Jesus. You see, Jesus was not trying to preserve a nation, but the emerging followers of the way, those who would eventually become known as the Christian Church. Satan must be bound. Satan must be defeated. I have cast out Satan, he says, and you too must cast out evil spirits which possess you. So evil spirits are like rotten fruit, the Apostle Paul said in Galatians 5:19-21. He said, immorality, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, which is abuse of drugs, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, selfishness, dissension, party spirit, even drunkenness, carousing, you know, and all that evil stuff. Well, the worst evil spirit is the one which resists the Holy Spirit. And with the boldness of a man born to be king, Jesus now confronts the real problem, the refusal of some to cooperate with the power of God, the Holy Spirit. And then he talked about the unforgivable sin. He went on to say that all sins can be forgiven except the blaspheming of the Holy Spirit. And they wondered, even murder, yes, even murder. Even adultery, yes, even adultery. Even idolatry, yes, even idolatry. Even lying, yes, even lying. Even coveting, stealing, and using the name of God in vain, yeah, all of them can be forgiven if, I love the buts and the ifs, if people repent. So what then is the sin against the Holy Spirit? What is the one thing which will keep us out of the kingdom of God? And what does blaspheming against the Holy Spirit, what's it mean? Well, the function of the Holy Spirit, which is another term for the living Christ or God alive in the world today, is to bring us back to God when we sin. And the refusal to bring back to God, even when we hear the truth and know the truth, is blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. I like to term it as shutting God completely out of your life. Now, some people manage to do that, but it's really hard. Everything else is forgiven. In other words, the unforgivable sin is not to just repent. God has designed us so that our cooperation is essential to the restoration to God. Our will must turn to accept and embrace God's will. We must turn back to God by the power of the Spirit of God. And then we must cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Repentance is an attitude of openness to change. So what is that thing divides a home? What is that that divides a family? What is that that divides friends? What is that that divides a nation? Well, what it divides a nation, it's clear. An arrogance and pride that leaves no possibility for repentance and forgiveness. The ancient words of Jesus are more contemporary than our morning newspapers today. Much more has changed in the last 2,000 years, but you've heard me say before, times have changed, but human nature has never changed because the human heart remains the same. It can pump blood as long as it's not turned to stone. And Jesus called people together who were willing to repent. He said, these are my family, the family of God. You see, we are born of the flesh to one family. And we become true spiritual family with other people only when we have a common Father. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God is a common brother, Jesus and the common power of the Holy Spirit. These people are there. Mary and his brothers and sisters of the flesh are only my spiritual family when they, like you, make their turn back to God, called faith. That's why I came, was to tell you the good news of that possibility, Jesus said. If you return, I'll restore you. You know what Jeremiah once echoed? But if is the biggest little word we know. If. What unites a home? What unites a family? What unites friends? What unites a nation? And a nation with a nation? What unites a church? A return to God. If you return, I will restore you, says the Lord. Repentance unites us. So family to me, Jesus asked. And he went on to say, those who do the will of my Father. Isn't it nice to be a part of God's family? Those who return to my Father. Those who repent. Those who renounce their evil ways. Now my family is not perfect. Every member of my family is a sinner. And probably every member of your family is a sinner. But, I love the buts and the ifs, but a sinner who repents of his sins and keeps coming back to my Father, Jesus teaches. And if you return, I'll restore you, says the Lord of hosts. And Jesus went home one day. And there he talked about repentance. And that's because he wants us to come home to be with the Father. Repentance is the way home. You know, it's a wonderful thing about repentance because we go through life and we sometimes make mistakes and we go in the wrong direction and so forth. And all repentance means that we have become aware that we're going in the wrong direction. And then we say, God, help. And he allows us to reflect on that, to make changes, to get back on the right road. That's all repentance is. But God wants us to repent. I must repent 1,000 times a day because I'm always making mistakes or doing something I shouldn't be doing or whatever, or dealing with people or whatever. And sometimes my tone of voice gets me in trouble. And then I must repent because I want to be a part of the family of God. So if I repent and call upon the name of the Lord, I'll be saved. Jesus told us that. He said that I came so that you may have life and have life more abundantly. We're in a challenging time in this world, in our country, and I'm looking forward to the return of the Lord almost any moment because there's only one person who can take care and straighten this mess out, and that's the Lord Jesus. It says in that little book of Jude that we as saints, if we go to heaven before he comes, then he gets us well-trained saints. That's what he wants, well-trained saints, that we will come and return with him to set up his kingdom here on earth. What a wonderful blessing that is to be a part of the family of God. So, repentance. Don't worry about it if you make mistakes. Just say, Lord, I need to repent. Give me wisdom and grace, and let the Holy Spirit come into my life and teach me, because it is the Holy Spirit that does the teaching. It's the Holy Spirit that does the convicting. I, as a preacher, don't do any convicting. I can't, don't want, or I'm not even a judge of who you are or what you do. But the Holy Spirit, if you get quickened in your spirit, you're going in the wrong direction, that's the Holy Spirit's telling you, repent. And ask for forgiveness, and you will be forgiven. That's what life and what Christianity is all about. We're just a bunch of forgiven heathens. But we love the Lord thy God and called according to his will and purpose. Well, anyhow, hope and pray you're having a good day. And just know that Jesus went home to prepare a place for us. Think about that. He said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions or many homes. One translation says many resting places. He said, and if it wasn't true, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. If you call upon the name of the Lord for your reservation, you got a special place waiting for you when this life is over. That's the beauty. Have an eternal life. Not only have an eternal life, but when you go from this life to life, you have a wonderful place called heaven as your home.